Blog Talk Radio.
Here on Blog Talk Radio for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show, thanks to Impact Media. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York, joined once again by, I guess, the running back of this team for sure, the King ATL and Mr. Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Would that be accurate to say you're the runner of this group?
Hey, man, I like it. I like it. I never got a chance to play running back. I was a tight end, so... But I always wanted to play. Actually, I did get the chance to play one time, and I didn't like it. So,
just a little too much contact for some people, right?
Hey, man, it's small. When you're not that fast, man, it's hard to get through those holes real quick.
Yeah. And I always thought I would have been a better I always felt I'd have been a good corner or something like that, even though I didn't have the speed. But if I ever played in somebody's backyard, you couldn't catch it anywhere near me.
Yeah, it's funny about that saying lot football, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think I was Lynn Swan when we played.
Well, once I got older and Disney made that movie, Invincible, I kind of felt like maybe I was the Vince Pompali.
Except that
I don't think I was as good as he was, but I was usually one of the better ones that would play, just in the fact that I was athletic enough to hang with anybody. I don't know that I was better than anybody, but, you know, that kind of thing happens.
Hey, yep. Now you're a great radio host.
Exactly. If they say that those who can't teach, when the athlete stops playing, he talks about it.
You're right.
So we will loosely call ourselves great athletes and continue on with the show. But as we were talking about before we came on, we're actually going to have Noel and Devin from TurfTalkPro.com, of course, some of our fantasy experts and gurus to be on. They're going to be on here in a few minutes, I believe. Tons to get to, including a disgruntled wide receiver on a local team. We will definitely jump into that.
Wow,
because
yeah.
It seems to get worse every day. We will go over the 4-0 teams and obviously the 3-0 team because, you know, we can't fault them for taking the week off. But is there anywhere in particular you want to start?
Oh, no, let's just jump right in, man. We got a lot to talk about, so I'll let you pick the topic of choice that will get us less yelled at here over the line.
Well, I don't know about yet less yelled at because a lot of our audience is possibly not going to like the team we're going to talk about, but... Of course, we got to talk about the New Orleans Saints and that quarterback they have. Apparently, he's pretty good. Drew Brees and the Sunday or the Monday game? Regardless, when he played over the weekend, he got his 5,000th completion of his career, and he joins Peyton and Brett Favre in that company, even though he's miles behind them both. And he also got his 400th touchdown, which I believe ended up being the game winner.
Right.
You know, you being the Falcons fan and just the general consensus in this area about the Saints, I think, you know, we still got to give proper respect that Drew Brees is possibly one of the, you know, top of all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, taking nothing from Drew Brees, and you know, I'm not obviously not someone that likes the Saints, but you can't take it from Drew Brees. I mean, from a guy that didn't really have the best start of careers in San Diego to get traded and have a resurrection like he's had, he's definitely the MVP of that team. He's the one guy that they can't get rid of. obviously. I mean, I think when they got rid of Graham this year, thought everybody thought they'd be kind of tanking as much as they were, if not more. But that guy, man, I mean, he's the real deal, and there's really nothing else you can say about it.
Exactly, and I actually thought of something earlier because, you know, at least in this generation of quarterbacks, it's always going to be Brady, Breeze, and Peyton Manning.
Right.
The thing to me that puts Brady ahead, and pretty much, you know, this was like the final category. He did miss a year because of big injury, but the injury didn't cause him to swap teams. So if he finishes as a Patriot, I think no matter how many rings the other two end up with, he's got to be ahead of them.
Right. And, I mean, the other thing about Brady, too, is he's never really had a premier set of receivers.
No.
It was always guys that just came up off the street, you know, guys you never really heard about. And he just always seems to get it done. I mean, what can you say? I mean, Brady is hard to – and he's got the rings to prove it. I mean, I know we've gone through all of the cheating scandals and the deflate gates and whatnot, but nonetheless, the guy's been a consistent winner.
Yeah, absolutely. And fun fact here so that people can win a lot of bar bets, unless I'm mistaken – do you know the team that was number two on the list to get Breeze out of San Diego a couple years ago?
No, I do not.
Well, I'll give you the hint that it's a team we're about to get into who is beyond dumpster fire at this point.
Can't be Miami, is it?
It is the Miami Dolphins. They were pursuing him very hard, and Drew Breeze said he listened to everything that they had to say. I'm pretty sure it was Miami.
That's right. I do remember that. It was Miami. You're right.
What swayed him to go to New Orleans was Sean Payton, who seemed to be the biggest believer in Drew Brees. And he said, hey, I don't think you've missed a beat. I think you're fine after surgery. I think you need to come in here and throw, and you're my quarterback. And Miami was just like, yeah, we'll just see what happens. And he went, okay, you believe in me. I'm going there.
That's right. I do recall that. I remember that story. You're right.
Yep, and like I said, as we get into the Beyond Dumpster Fire team that is the Miami Dolphins currently, I'll just go over the random things that have happened to them in the last, 4 days, and we'll just kind of start from there. Of course, they get to take a trip to London just to get their behinds handed to them by division rival, the New York Jets. Philbin survives until he gets back in town and then receives a phone call saying you're no longer the coach of this game. Now, that's one thing I could kind of defend him on. I think you need to tell him in person, not over the phone, but I'll get into why I think that happened in a minute. The tight end coach took over. For some reason, his name is not in front of me, but I remember this guy used to play tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, I believe. I believe he had the flowing hair behind him and everything. I remember the guy.
Right.
And then, of course, what is it? Dan
Coleman, was it?
Who?
Coleman, was his last name Coleman?
Something like that. Dan Coleman, maybe?
Yeah, I can see his face.
I'll have our stat guy look it up because he's looks like he's eating a Twinkie or something right now and he needs to be busy. We'll have him look that up while we're doing it. And then, of course, we find out that Ryan Tannehill has periodically blown up at practice squad players who intercept him.
Right. And there you have it. I mean,
yeah.
Again, in stark contrast, I read a similar statement, an article that stated that Tom Brady actually pays players that intercept him in practice. So, I mean, there you have it.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, I've tried to defend Ryan Tannehill to say, you know, maybe he's turning the corner, maybe he's going to take this step, and then it just keeps being maybe on top of maybe. And after you have a swimming pool full of maybe and then you hear this, I'm almost convinced that we've seen the best Ryan Tannehill we're going to see and that this guy could flake out in a couple years. In fact, whoever takes over as coach, whether it's the guy they have now or somebody they hire between now and the start of next season, they're going to want to bring in their own guy. Ryan Tannehill may be, you know, I don't want to say that much of a random job, but I guess he'll be digging ditches after this or something. Did we lose you there, Reggie?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh.
I can't see them making those wholesale changes like that and he not be a part of them. I mean, the guy's horrible. Sorry.
There it is. That guy has finally finished his not-so-good-for-him dessert. It is Dan Campbell is the new head coach down there. And I'm pretty sure that he was a tight end for the Cowboys back in the heyday. So he might have been down there with was Jason Garrett down there at that time?
I don't know if he was in the Jason Garrett era. He might have been in the Barry Switzer or the...
Yeah, that's probably it.
I knew it was Dan something. You had a Dan. I couldn't think of his lab. I could see his face. He's got some interesting tactics about how he plans to right the ship. Probably acquiesce to what we've got going on down here with Coach Quinn. I mean, he's going to create competition. And Coach Hill, in his absence, has spoken quite a bit about that. That's the key to better teams is there's always competition. Your job is never safe.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And, you know, we'll see how – supposedly this guy's brought some intensity to the Miami Dolphins in the fact that I believe they had the Oklahoma drill just yesterday to close out practice.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, depending on – he seems to be a player coach. Maybe they need somebody like that. And what do you think his chances are of being the head coach to start next season?
I think it's slim and none. You've got Chuck Pagano coming out, seemingly coming out of Indianapolis. Nick Saban is not definitely not going back there. But, I mean, you got quite a few good coaches that are available. I just can't see it being him.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think their fan base needs something else to hold on to.
Yeah, it needs to be a high-profile guy. There was actually a list that I read the other day, and I only remember a handful of them because most of them were absurd. In fact, the writer said the only reason he put Jim Harbaugh on the list was just to make Michigan fans kind of mad at him. Point taken. But the number one person on this list was a top coordinator who has done wonders with the team this year, and I'm sure you're somewhat familiar with him, and that would be Kyle Shanahan. What are the chances you think he jumps that quickly to take over as a head coach?
You know what? I think it probably is 50-50. I mean,
yeah.
The guy has head coaching in his pedigree. But it really depends on how Atlanta does this year. I mean, if they go as far as they're looking right now, I think it'll be tough to get him out of there. I think Blank, you know, writes the check of a head coach. Because that's not salary cap driven. So, but I still think it's 50-50. I think in the end he wants to be a head coach.
Yep, and I think he's got the chops to do it. And I wouldn't blame him. But I would hope he sticks around long enough to collect his ring for this year, and then I'm okay with him leaving.
Right, my thoughts exactly. And I wasn't real sold on Kyle Shanahan, so I definitely have to give my apologies out to him. Because he's definitely come in and changed the whole landscape of that offense.
That he definitely has. And we're going to hit a few more things before we have Noel and Devin on to talk some fantasy. Real quickly, we got Jay Cutler that returned and toughed it out. I mean, he's pretty banged up, as banged up as possibly a veteran pro wrestler or something. He's pretty banged up. But he returned, and Chicago ended up getting the win over Oakland. What does this mean for Chicago, you know, from here on out?
Well, it's definitely a statement for Jay Cutler. I speaking of fantasy, he's one of my fantasy reserve quarterbacks, and I had him on the bench because I didn't think he was going to play. And then he drops, you know, the amount that he dropped. But nonetheless, I think this is a big statement for him. Because he's gotten that bad moniker and deservedly so. But to see him come out there, gut it out, and get the win, you know, that he's trying to justify that $65 million contract. So we'll see what happens. I don't know that it means playoffs for these guys, but it definitely may not necessarily mean first-round pick or number one pick in the draft next year.
Right, which in the long run I think would actually help them more than hurt them. They may want to not avoid that, but I never encourage anybody to tank. I actually think he's kind of auditioning for 31 other teams, honestly, because he knows that this new regime, if they can figure out a way to move him and that contract, even eating part of the contract to do it, he feels like maybe he gets a say in what direction he goes, maybe not what team.
Right, and that could be possible. I mean, there are definitely a lot of teams out there that's got some suspect quarterbacks. I mean, we just talked about one that would, I'm sure, give him the opportunity or the shot to come in and win the job.
Yeah, absolutely. Other quick notes we want to get to. There's some really good ones I want to get to after we talk to them. But Todd Gurley finally looks like the guy who played at Georgia a couple years ago. And a lot of people were comparing him to the other guy we were going to talk about, and that's Adrian Peterson, who looks like the guy a couple years ago who did whatever he wanted to in the backfield. Is Gurley really the next AP, or should we just literally take him for Todd Gurley?
I think we take him for Todd Gurley, and let's wait and see. I mean, I'm not taking anything from the guy. He definitely played well. But, you know, you got to show me more than one or two times, one time at least, before I go giving you that AP moniker. I mean, that's a big set of shoes to put him in.
Yeah, it's as much as I appreciate Gurley and my fantasy team absolutely appreciated him over the weekend, or at least one of the five. I had to right the ship on three of them. Yeah, it's just fun watching this guy play. It was one of the three games we had on here. I believe that was the 4 o'clock hour here at the studio. And after a while, we just started, anytime he would get the ball, we would all stop watching the other two to watch that. This guy runs like, you know, not like an Adrian Peterson, but it's like saying, oh, here's Barry Sanders, here's Walter Payton. When you know you're watching somebody great run the football is when you stop what you're doing to watch him run.
Right, and a lot of that was just to see if he had it or if he was going to be what we thought he was going to be when he got drafted or before he got drafted. But again, you know, AP can't put him there yet because AP made it happen against some of the best defenses, and this guy just hadn't seen that yet. So I'm still in wait-and-see mode. I don't think he's going to bust. I think he's definitely – he's not, you know, Trent Richardson or anything by any stretch, but I can't give him – I can't give him, AP right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I see we got him. Do we have him? We do have him lined up. Awesome. Right now, I do want to bring on our very special guests. And, of course, they are two of the three-headed attack that is TurfTalkPro.com. Of course, that is our fantasy friends and gurus here. Devin and Noel from TurfTalkPro.com. How are we doing, guys?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
What's going on, Jeremy? How you doing?
I am doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. What's going on, Coach? Long time no talk to.
Well, I'll be Coach today. This is Reggie. You haven't talked to me in a while either.
Coach Reggie.
Yeah, I'll be that.
Hey, there we go. At Reggie, as if you needed another hat to wear.
Right.
Noel, are you with us as well?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. I want to say, even though I've told you many times since then, congratulations on the new addition to your family, and it looks like it's been a lot of fun having her around the house.
Oh, yeah. definitely is a full-time job.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I already heard that she's second place in the fantasy league, so she's learned very quickly.
Yeah, she will learn.
Even though she was the number one pick this year, she's second place in the league. We'll have to work on that. But it is good to have you guys back on. So since we hadn't heard from you in a while, what's been going on with you guys, obviously, and with TurfTalkPro.com?
Hey, well, okay, say that again. I'm sorry, I'm kind of in the middle of driving.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It talking and driving is not illegal, I don't believe, but texting is. So if you have to, you can always pull over at the local parking lot there. But okay. I was actually saying, since it's been a while since we've talked to you both, what's been going on with you guys and then obviously with TurfTalkPro.com?
Let's see here. Well, we kind of took a break from fantasy real quick. It's kind of going to be down this year, but we got plans for it next year. I plan on incorporating some season tickets, either of the Falcons or Miami, because I moved down to Miami now. So I want friends, family, and other fantasy goers to be able to purchase season tickets and have a chance to see how bad the Dolphins are, go Falcons, and possibly some other teams. But otherwise, fantasy, we want to keep that moving, giving advice, especially on our Facebook group, and just having a good time playing fantasy, man.
Definitely so. I know I try to jump in those discussions when possible, even though apparently my advice is not as good as my actual GM play.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Hey, I won't tell everybody how many leagues I'm in of yours that I'm holding down currently, but just know that the turnaround's coming.
We'll be waiting patiently.
Reggie, obviously, if you have any questions for them, go ahead and fire away. But I was just going to fire a few quick questions that were sent in to us, and then obviously some overall plays for the weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting to hear some fantasy advice because I, unfortunately, in one of the leagues that I play in, I ended up being on auto draft and ended up with 20 quarterbacks and the Redskins defense. So I'm waiting on some advice to get myself in the hole.
So you are the proverbial Washington Redskins then. You're stuck with a bad defense and way too many quarterbacks that can't play.
Right. I did get a chance to pick up Devontae Freeman, though, so that's
saved.
Wow.
That
saved your season.
Yeah, you at least won't be last.
Right. I was able to pick up a win this past week, but it was brutal before that, man, I got to tell you.
Wow, that does sound. Let's see. I'll fire off the first one that I was going to throw at you guys. Devin, we'll start with you. Who is kind of the favored quarterback matchup for this weekend? Is there somebody that we should be trying to target, or is there a good pickup?
Man, honestly, I'm so surprised how well Andy Dalton is doing. He's firing all cylinders right now. That guy, that's I know most likely he's not even being on a waiver wire, but if you have him, play him, man. Write him out. He's on fire. He's clicking on all cylinders.
Statistically, Andy Dalton has a better home game than he does an away game.
Wow.
Then if you're streaming quarterbacks, I'm not going to lie, it's a little biased. I'm still a fan of Vic. Still a fan of Vic. Okay? So just because he can still throw the ball, they're going to give him the ball. They're going to put Le'Veon Bell in the passing game. He has weapons. He's a veteran quarterback. Even if they get down, they can still get the ball down the field just because they have weapons. And he has a whole extra week to get his timing better with Antonio Brown, who's like the ultimate wide receiver right now. So if Vic is available and you need a quarterback, pick him up, man. Pick him up.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I actually picked him up just before his first start, just to kind of use his leverage for when Ben went down. But I haven't put him in the active lineup yet, so I'm glad to hear you say that.
Then I got another one for you. I picked him up 2 weeks ago. It's Josh McCown from the Browns.
Wow.
He's gotten me 27, 28 points the last 2 weeks just because he had a nice matchup, I believe, with the Raiders. They were down all game, and that fourth quarter came. He threw like two TDs to Gabriel, one to Benjamin. It was just like, bam. He's gotten over 200-something yards, over 250 yards, and he's got me 27 points. He did it again last week. The Browns have another nice matchup. I think they can do it, man. Josh McCown, he should be on your waiver wire, too.
Wow. I'll think about Josh McCown because I know he's on there. I tried the Brandon Whedon train a couple times, and I think that needs to stay in the
Different players, Jeremy. Those are two different players.
Yeah, but Whedon plays on a way better team. That's why I went with him. But I don't know. Hopefully nobody in any of my leagues are currently, even though I know that's a lie, is listening right now. But Noel, we'll throw it to you. Who is the who's the running backs we should be looking for this weekend?
You switching that one? Running backs for this week. Oh man, where do I start on that one? well,
really, it would probably be I'd have to go with the Buffalo running back.
Whoever that may be?
Whoever that may be. I don't think it's going to be McCoy this week, and I don't think Carlos Williams is going to pass the concussion protocol. So it's going to be Rick Dixon is what he's going to be named, but most of the time his nickname is Booby Dixon.
Right.
But I think he's definitely going to be a top. Not exactly strong up front. They have it better in the secondary. I feel like it's going to be more of a running game for them. So Buffalo's going to win the game. I think Marcus Mariota is going to still struggle as a rookie, but Marcus Mariota's been doing pretty good. He's going to run community as well.
Is that actually the Whedon train next to you, Noel?
You what?
Is that actually the Whedon train next to you?
The Whedon train?
Yeah, it sounds like there's a train next to you, but...
Not me. That must be Devin. I'm in the house.
Oh, yeah. Then again, it could be Devin. He might be on the Whedon train. But,
No, I got it.
There we go. I got jokes. I didn't say they're any good, but I got them this week. I'm trying.
You picked him up off the waiver wire.
Exactly. I've also put him back on it in a couple leagues. So, what would you guys advise? We'll start with you, Devin. I'll get an answer from both of you. What would you guys advise people, first of all, who are, towards the bottom of their league? It doesn't matter if it's 8, 10, 12 at this point. Just let's say they're not off to a good start, 1-3, they're 0-4. What kind of things should they be trying to do? Because obviously you never give up in fantasy. You never know what happens.
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had some players offer me some trades. Right now I'm 3-1 in my league, and the guy who I offered a trade was somewhere at the bottom. I don't know, whatever. And I'm looking at his roster, and I'm like, I'm not going to trade any of my good players for your players. So what my advice would be is, hey, you're going to have to tough it out a couple more weeks because injuries are going to happen, and you need to be the guy who picks up those players off those waiver wires. Or you make a trade that's like you give up more than what you can get. If it's 3-for-1, to take that good player that can get you at least 15 or 10 points a game, it's worth it than suffering with guys who are on the field, not catching passes, not getting 5 points, not getting a reception. You see what I'm saying? You got to give up something to give. Sometimes, even if you're at the bottom of the barrel, give up numbers to get one quality player. You need quality. And you're going to find that throughout the league with player injuries, and you're going to pick them off the waiver wire because there's always going to be that superhero out of nowhere. Always. We're just waiting for him this year. We don't know who this guy's going to be, but he's out there.
His name's Todd Gurley, and we were just talking about him.
To that point, I got a question for either one of you guys, advice-wise. Even me with Devontae Freeman, when I look at the Atlanta Falcons, I see Coleman coming back this year. Obviously, Terren Ward had a great game on top of that. What's the likelihood that a Freeman drops off, that I could get rid of him now and grab a couple of players, that will help bolster my team, knowing and believing that, a team like the Falcons is going to probably run a three-headed monster, or at best a two-headed monster. And both of those guys are kind of getting nicked up a little easier. So is that something I should be thinking about now?
I think you can expend Derek Ward. He's the third one on the back, and the only reason why he got in is because the Falcons were up like 45-0 on that team. They put in Sean Renfrey, who I think he went to Duke. I don't know who that guy was. I think he went to Duke. I looked it up because I was like, who is this guy? So that's the only reason why I believe Ward played. So he can go. You got to keep Coleman because it might be Devontae Freeman's turn where he gets hurt, and next thing you know, the Falcons are riding it out with Tevin Coleman. And he looked like a monster out there, man. Jeez.
Right.
So you're good with that. Hang on to those two players. If you're playing running back committee, hang on to your committee. Hang on to the backups. because the handcuffs are so important. They're as valuable as the starters, because the starters eventually go down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got to stash. You got to stash your players, man. Like, I'm stashing Victor Cruz. I hopefully, maybe at the end of the season, when playoffs come back, and he becomes the Victor Cruz all of a sudden that we fell in love with and doing the salsa, and you got ODB on the other side, imagine the Giants offense. Man, you got to stash your players.
Devin, I think I can give you advice on Victor Cruz there. Salsa is not in style. Cheese dip is. I don't think he's going to come back and be a beast like you think he is. I think you should go ahead and try to move him if you can, and if you can't, you should drop him.
Oh, man. Well, you know, cheese dip's not in style anymore. It's guacamole.
You can have
hey,
that.
Hey, Jeremy, we need one of those tracks. You need to hook that up now that you're throwing jokes out there.
Yeah, you know what? We don't have that. All we have is a few sound clips from TV shows, and as I'm looking over the board, the same bell that keeps going off randomly. There's a good one.
What did that?
Yeah, that wasn't me. Was that you, Noel?
Yeah, that was me.
See, look at that. He's already better than our tech guy here who is eating another Twinkie at this point instead of looking up facts. So, Noel, you may have a job soon at Impact Media because we may need a new tech guy. But, Noel, I will throw the next one to you. On the flip side of what Devin was saying, what if you're to the top of a league right now, whether it's just pure luck like it is if Devin's 3-1, or if it's you're actually doing a good job of managing your team, you know, what advice would you give somebody on top of the league right now?
Oh, you mean like me? Well, in Devin's league, I'm 3-1 as well. And then we've only actually got 4 leagues this year. And the other 3, I'm actually first place in 2 of them and second in one of the others. This is actually the lowest league I'm in. I'm in 3rd place. When the draft started, I kind of went backwards. Everybody else wanted to go running backs, and I decided I'd pick wide receivers first. So my first 2 picks, being the 8th pick in a, I think it was 12-man team, I got to pick Julio Jones and Antonio Brown. So I've got the number 1 and number 2 wide receiver for pretty much all of fantasy football, and it's pretty crazy. They've held me going strong, but I've also picked up a couple of strong running backs with it. But really, my tight ends, I'm just kind of with tight ends. I'm just picking the waiver wire apart, going with kickers and defenses. If I can make a trade, sometimes I'll pick one running back or a wide receiver that I could get rid of and maybe pick up something else strong. But right now, if you're in the top of the league, you kind of either play it out or you make sure you get your handcuffs to play, you know, have that prone to injury. You know?
I definitely think that's good advice. I've actually lucked out in 3 of the 5 leagues I'm in that my kickers and defenses have already had bye weeks, and I'm set with pretty good ones. And then I have in 3 of the 5 as well, my tight ends have already had bye weeks. So I don't have to touch those 3 positions, even though they're pretty much interchangeable, are they not?
Pretty much. I actually have 4 tight ends in my roster.
But, Reggie, do you have another question for him?
No, I think I'm good now. I'm over here combing the waiver wires now.
I knew you got quiet for a reason. I'm glad we're not in a league together, which we should have started one. But I guess, like Devin and Noel said, we'll hit it hard next year and maybe start up one through the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, count me in on that one.
Just send me the trophy, guys. Just send me the trophy.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, without sparking a new debate, Reggie, we don't give out participation trophies in my contest, so I don't know which one you're referring to.
This is the new one we're going to start. In one of my leagues, we actually have this super-duper ugly toy baby that we have. That has, man, we've put a mustache and a beard on a baby and one earring and an eye patch. But what happens is whomever has the lowest score for that week, we ship the baby to them overnight.
Oh, wow.
picture with the baby and post it on our draft on our draft page. So it's so man, we get pretty intense with it.
Wow, Devin, does that spark any ideas for the A, B, or C league?
I'm
glad I'm not last in those leagues.
It did. I got being ideas. I like to have ideas. That's a good one, though.
Oh, that is a good one, Reggie. We're going to have to maybe do something show-related with that. But, guys, it's been fun having you back on, and I know you guys are busy, and that's actually why Heath couldn't be here. He had to answer a lot of random questions, he said, so he was not able to join us.
Heath has margaritas and trivia.
Yeah, he said there may or not be alcohol-related, but it was a lot of random questioning from people he didn't know. So, you know, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and I will my beef with him, I will start up next time he's on. It should be pretty fun. But, like I said, it's been fun having you guys on, and good luck with TurfTalkPro.com, and obviously good luck in the leagues. Which leagues are you guys actually in those?
I'm in A and C League.
Are so you actually playing?
Yeah, I'm actually playing. Yeah, trust me. I've had to change out players. I had Andrew Luck. I had to change him out.
Yeah, good call on that because he's not starting again tonight.
Right. Halfback's not even starting tonight, right?
I don't know. That seems to be up in the air. But regardless, whether it's Hasselbeck or Josh Johnson, who was re-signed for the second week in a row, that means that no Indianapolis quarterback threw a pass during practice this week. So this should be fun.
Yeah, this is going to be a
horrible.
This is going to be a horrible.
I think we got Moncrief starting in one of my leagues.
You might want to consider not doing that.
I have the benefit of the doubt.
I guess that could work. But before you guys go, who do you guys have in the game later on tonight?
I'm a diehard Colts fan, so Colts.
That could be why you're a little biased keeping him in.
Oh, man. They're playing the Ravens tonight? No, they're playing the Texans tonight.
They're playing
right.
Texans, yes.
I have to go with the Texans. There's no way.
I think the Colts defense is actually going to just completely wipe the floor with Ryan Mallett or Brian Hoyer, whoever it's going to be.
I don't know. After that shellacking that the Texans got at the hands of my Falcons, I don't know. I think they may come out with a chip on their shoulders tonight.
Well, if Watt breaks his nose or bleeds or makes his nose get bloody, I'm sure he'll get 5 sacks this game or something.
Yeah, I call that the Forrest Griffin effect because Forrest Griffin, every time he would fight, the only time that he would really turn it on and start trying to win a UFC fight was when he tasted his own blood, and it seems like J.J. Watt does the same thing.
I remember when Forrest Griffin wasn't even in the UFC. Wow, that was a while ago. Woo.
Man, you're making yourself feel old because none of us here are old.
I just remember watching the fight before.
But maybe once you guys get off here, you guys can call each other and have a debate on whose offense is going to be the worst tonight and how the Texans are actually going to win this game.
It's going to be the Texans winning the game. They're going to have a better offense. They have to.
At this point, they could just direct snap it to Arian Foster or anybody in the backfield, and it's got to be better than anything they've done.
Yeah. I mean... No offense to Josh Johnson, but he hasn't even played with the team.
I don't doubt that. I think Frank Gore's arms might fall off when he tries to grab the ball and run with it.
Either way, it'll be a fun game to tune into. And like I said, I will let you guys on to the rest of your evening. Appreciate you guys calling in. We'll try to get you guys back on the next couple of weeks because I continue to have people ask us questions all the time. And we field them as good as we can, but it's what you guys are experts in. But appreciate it, Noel. Appreciate it. Definitely. That's what I need to do is start sending them to the Facebook page. And I actually, during Jaguar Zone on Monday night, I actually had a guy from New Jersey call in and ask me which Jaguar players I should put on or that he should try to go for. So it seems like all the shows here on Impact Media, except for the college show, all has fantasy questions. So I'll just start yielding them to you guys.
right.
Hey,
so,
if you got to, just send me a text real fast.
I tried to answer the best I could on that one.
I had to put a comment about the Jaguars. From a fantasy perspective, it is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One week you got Allen Hurns having a great game, but then it's like, what is Blake Bortles doing? That has to be frustrating to be a Jaguars fan.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
Go ahead.
Blake, I would pick Blake Bortles this week if you're sketchy with a lot of quarterbacks or something. I think Blake Bortles is a good pickup this week, especially playing Tampa Bay. They got no secondary. I think he's going to have a great game. Allen Hurns out there, Allen Robinson. Everybody's going to cover Robinson. I think Hurns is going to have a pretty good game again.
That is the exact advice I gave the guy on Monday's show. Is he was asking if Allen Hurns was a better pickup than I think he has Anquan Boldin and he had somebody else in a similar boat. And I said, absolutely, I would drop Boldin or somebody like that and pick up Hurns. He's the number two option, but he's the speed option, and Allen Robinson gets double teamed, so he's single coverage up the sideline every game.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate you guys calling in, though. And, of course, you can find you guys on Facebook. Is it just Turf Talk Pro or turftalkpro.com?
It's Turf Talk Pro.
And on Twitter, you guys are at Turf Talk Pro. And if you want to hit, because Devin handles that, if you want to hit Lynn up, Noel Lynn, that is, that's at Pro or at Prof Lynn TTP, correct?
Yep. Professor Lynn, taking it back to school.
That's funny, because you got the guru, the Devicon, and the professor, so.
The Devicon.
Devicons. Let me tell you something. This man's been sending me memes today, and I'm just shaking my head wondering what is he doing.
Oh, he sent me the same ones. That's why I just kept shaking my head throughout the day. I was like, I didn't realize you're in the C-League, so we will actually play each other. I was like, you're sending me all this stuff, and we don't even play against each other. But now that I know we do. Okay, now I'm going to have to see when we play each other. But, guys, have a great rest of your evening, and appreciate you calling in.
All right.
Thank you.
Great talking to you, Reggie. Same here, man. Take care.
And, of course, that was Devin and Noel from TurfTalkPro.com. It's always fun having those guys on because, I mean, I know me and you, Reggie, and Coach, when we kind of explain the fantasy concept to him, we try to answer questions the best we can as people contact us. But, I mean, these guys actually, you know, study it a lot more than we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always good talking to those guys.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to run through the a few more of these topics here, and then we're going to jump into Falcon Zone because there's some stuff I really want to get into, and I'm sure you do too. I went back and watched the first half of the game and wrote down some things I saw because that's when all the scoring happened. But going back to the rest of the league, everybody's favorite, I guess, criminal in the league, so to say, or not really criminal, I guess, because he's never been charged with anything, but Ndamukong Suh supposedly kicked the Jets quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick's helmet off on the way out of bounds on a play. Did you happen to see this?
Yeah, I saw that. And then, you know, he probably did, but guess what? Everybody's known that's been Ndamukong Suh this whole time. So what can you say? And you get what you pay for.
Exactly, and you know, that's just a detriment to the dumpster fire that is the Miami Dolphins, like we were talking about earlier. And in the same respect, it's Ndamukong Suh. At this point, he has to know he doesn't get benefit of the doubt on these kinds of things, even though so far they looked accidental to me for the most part, even from him. Because it seemed like if he did it on purpose, he would have, like, reached down and ripped his helmet off.
Yeah, I think he's the master of that kind of incognito backhand slaps, if you will. So,
and yeah, of course,
I'm sure there was something to it, knowing him. He's frustrated right now. I think he chased the money in. I think he realizes that he's not going to get a ring there anytime soon.
Right, and of course, when you say incognito, you're not referring to the Buffalo Bills offensive lineman, who's actually having another stellar season. You're just talking about the actual word, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because trust me, I would still love to talk to Richie Incognito. I won't even mention all that stuff that happened in Miami. I feel like, you know, that's past him now. He's going back to playing football, and I wish Richie the best.
Yeah, if you remember last year, we were having our offensive line problems down in Atlanta. I thought Atlanta should have gone and picked him up. I think the guy can play, as he's showing.
I think Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan would have picked him up.
Absolutely.
But moving on to another, I guess the word of the show will be dumpster fire. Moving on to another one, the Philadelphia Eagles with, you got DeMarco Murray saying he's not getting enough carries, and he's a little miffed about that. And then, of course, the hashtag is back on Twitter, Fire Chip Kelly. Are the Eagles in trouble, or are they just taking a while to iron this out?
I think they're in trouble. I think they let Chip do way too much. And, I mean, when you start getting rid of guys like McCoy and you know, these people that have really kept this team afloat for a while, I think he just did way too much. And so it's gonna hurt. It's going to hurt. I think you'll see Chip Kelly out of there before too long.
Yeah, a lot of people say they have to miss the playoffs, and then it would be the next year he's on the hot seat. But given that he wanted total control, and he has total control over the roster, I think if they miss the playoffs, or if they don't win more than six games or so, I think he's out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, anytime you give that kind of carte blanche to anybody and they do and they screw it up, as it seems like he has, I mean, again, you and Philadelphia, that's a tough city to lose in. I mean, those guys are losing it right now. I just don't think they can keep him.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And thing is, if he gets fired, is there anybody in particular you think would come over there?
Well, again, I mean, you got Chuck Pagano, who I think is gonna get some looks. I don't think they can afford to go for a college coach or somebody kind of up and coming. But maybe a Taron Austin out of Detroit. You know, he got a lot of looks last year. And looking at the train wreck they're dealing with up there now, it could be go any way. But whoever it is, they're going to have thick skin.
Yeah, I definitely think they are. And what was the other things? We'll go to the 4-0 teams and obviously the 3-0 team as well, being the New England Patriots. But the 4-0 teams that joined them being undefeated, obviously Atlanta, Carolina, Cincinnati, Denver, and Green Bay. Which of these teams do you think are for real, and which ones do you think are just hanging on till the wave hits the beach?
I think they all are for real in their own respective rights. I mean, if you had to line them all up, you got to go with Atlanta and New England because they have the easiest schedules of everyone else out there. But I think they're all kind of for real. I'm some of the other 4-0 teams, the Bengals. I'm not convinced about those guys. But for what we've got now, I think they're all pretty decent right now.
I'm going to disagree slightly. I think Atlanta's for real for the most part. I really like what Cincinnati's doing right now. Arguably, they could be the best team in the league. Denver's holding it together with a good defense and Peyton Manning, who is dying for a running game. Green Bay and New England look like they're just tuning up for the playoffs already. Carolina's the one that I think is just riding this wave until it hits the beach. They're having to run Cam Newton to have any kind of running game, which means in three or four games he's going to start missing time for an injury here or there, or he's going to take a big hit. I mean, I feel like Carolina's the one that just needs to try to hang on at this point.
Right, yeah. I mean, they're missing Kelvin Benjamin. That's a big part of their offense. And Cam Newton can't continue to toe the line. That's why I said if you had to rank them, they're definitely down at the bottom as far as I'm concerned because they're just one injury away from tanking. But, I mean, as for right now, they don't really have anybody in NFC South other than the Falcons that they really have to worry about. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's why I said they're pretty much going to ride this wave until either Atlanta starts to really pull off or, you know, if Atlanta happens to stumble a little bit, they're just going to hang on and kind of be the new thorns in the side of the Falcons.
Yeah, at one thing I tell people all the time, though, about these Falcons, they got a different look in their eyes, man. So it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, that was something I wrote down as part of the notes. There's a different attitude and a different mentality with this team, and it's a fun one from a fan perspective.
Absolutely.
Another team that's kind of making moves that I wanted to mention real quickly, not a whole lot to say about them, but the New York Giants are slowly emerging with the Cowboys trying to hang on until their stars return. And, you know, obviously Philadelphia having issues, and that division's kind of wide open, but it seems like the Giants are not as bad as their record is, and they're suddenly charging up the board.
Yeah, I think it's fool's gold. I mean, I'm still a little wait and see with those guys, too. I mean, I think that you know, you got Odell Beckham, you got, you know, obviously Eli Manning, but they've got some challenges on the defensive side of the ball that I think are going to come back and bite them in before it's too long. But, yeah, I'm not convinced of those guys just yet.
Yeah, but the way that division is, that division has suddenly become a lot more interesting because Dallas can't pull away. They don't have enough offense.
Right. Now can they win the division? Absolutely. But I think, you know, they'll get into the first round, and that'll be a wrap for their world or the wild card. I just don't see them being a strong enough team to do much damage.
I was actually talking to a Dallas fan and a New York Giant fan. They happen to be working at the same store in a department. And I asked the Giants fan, the Dallas fan thought this was funny until I flipped it on him, but I asked the Giants fan, I said, well, what would you rather happen this year? Would you rather barely get into the playoffs and lose in the first round, or would you rather lose enough games to where you have a new head coach? And after about 3 or 4 minutes, he still didn't answer me. He was, at the same time he wanted a new coach, he said, I don't know, it seemed like the playoffs would help us more. I said, yeah, but you're stuck with the same coach.
And the same quarterback.
Right.
And no right. running game.
Yeah, none at all.
Right, which is where I think Dallas really screwed it up. I mean, you just have to re-sign Murray, and it's showing now. I mean, he's not doing well in an Eagle, you know, Philadelphia. And I even heard some satire go on where they said, hey, maybe Dallas should try to trade and get him back.
You know, he would probably willingly come for a milkshake from McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm almost sure he would consider it.
And I don't think Chip Kelly would, because Chip Kelly would go, okay, give me your offensive line and your quarterback and wide receiver when he comes back, and I'll give you DeMarco back.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, Chip Kelly, you know, made his own bed. I mean, you go get Sam Bradford and give up Nick Foles. I mean, yeah, Nick Foles wasn't, you know, Tom Brady-esque, but he wasn't Sam Bradford either. So I don't know what he was doing or what he was thinking about. But, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yep, very true. And, obviously, I have left the last three topics on the list here for a reason. To me, these are the three juiciest ones we have. One, I really want to hear Coach's perspective on, but I know he won't be able to join us this week, possibly next week either, but maybe I can tape something off air and play it when we get to one. But I'm sure by now you've heard the video of Clay Matthews being Clay Matthews and pretty much punking Colin Kaepernick after wrapping him up and pretty much slinging him around. It looked like a one-sided amateur wrestling match to me all day long. After a particular time, Colin Kaepernick was barking at him about something, and Clay Matthews said, you're not Russell Wilson, bro.
Right. Yeah, I did hear it. And you know what? He's right. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't see anything inflammatory about what he said. He was telling the truth. I think, you know, Colin Kaepernick is probably the largest bag of fool's gold in the league right now. They went and paid this guy all of this money and realized, you know, he got with Kurt Warner and he's worked on his passing game and his blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, again, he's always just been that runner. He's not studying this craft. You can tell it. He doesn't recognize what he's seeing on these defensive fronts. And that's the difference. And his players are starting to get frustrated. I was reading some articles about Anquan Boldin starting to get frustrated with his guys now because he can't get the ball to them. They got Vernon Davis. They have weapons. But again, when he's been you know accustomed to trying to be the one man show, I think you're starting to see the product of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And actually, there's obviously friends of the show we have over at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. It's in the Bay Area. I was listening to a couple guys out there, and I actually questioned them about it later. They were saying that maybe this is the last year Colin Kaepernick is a San Francisco 49er, and that's not necessarily a bad thing for him or the team.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, I think he definitely has the talent, but he's got to have the right coach. Much like we said with Jameis Winston and him fortunately ending up in Tampa Bay, he's just got to go to the right place. I think that if Philadelphia could get their hands on him, I think he would fit well in Chip Kelly's offense. But he's just got to be in the right situation, and San Francisco just isn't it.
That, and I do like that the same host of this particular show, I'm not going to say it yet because I'm trying to negotiate them coming on this show at some point, but I don't want people to go trolling them on the internet now. But they also said, one being a former scout and one being a great media guy, the duo over there, but they said, isn't it kind of funny that he's saying that you're not Russell Wilson? So it's not like he's saying you're not a top three guy, not a top five guy. He's saying, dude, you're not even in the top 15.
And again, I think he's telling the truth. I think, you know, again, San Francisco got what they paid for, and, you know, $100 million down the hole. And I'm sure you've got some disgruntled players both there and those that have left and retired, quote unquote. And I think that's why they were upset about that. I mean, he's all glitz.
Yep, I definitely agree. But moving on, I don't know if you saw the end of the game, but I'm sure by now you know about the kind of blown call about batting the ball out of the back of the end zone. Obviously, they can't go back and change this, even though to me it cost Detroit the game. What do you know about this rule, and do you think they should try to change this rule somehow?
Well, from what I recall and listen to some of the stories, the rule suggests that, you know, if you bat it out, actually what should have happened was the ball should have been placed on the 1 yard line and given back to Detroit. And you know, for that, I kind of like that, you know. And then in some cases, I mean, a touchback is a touchback, right? But in this case, they're going to have to change it and make it consistent, whatever it is, because it cost Detroit the game. I mean, bottom line, if you look at the replays, the guy clearly batted the ball out intentionally. There was nothing accidental about it. And again, it cost him. Maybe he knew that about the rule, and that's why he did what he did, or he thought otherwise, I should say. But yeah, they're gonna have to change that, man, because that was bad, real bad luck for Detroit. And here we go, Seattle again, caught in one of those controversial last minute plays, man, where they win in a game that they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I said. I said, imagine that. Seattle is on the good side of a controversial call again. But as far as this rule and everything, I actually thought it was a safety when it first happened. And I was like, oh, no, it's a safety. Now you got to kick off to them and all this other stuff. But I thought they were still in the game. And there's actually, if you look at the side angle replay as he's batting the ball out, the referee reaches for his whistle with one hand and his belt with the other, and then doesn't move. He eventually moves his hand from both. Like, he thought, maybe I should call something because I can always pick it up. But it's like he was unsure of the rule at this point. And all the rest of us can kind of know the rules and all that kind of stuff, but this is like a police officer not knowing the law or something like that. A referee's job is to know the rule better than anybody else around him.
Yeah, but that was the other thing that they also said, is they mentioned that penalties were up in the NFL this year, and they attributed to the fact that, I think they said, you know, something like 30 or 40% of the referees have been replaced this year. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I did find it odd, and some other people have made reference to it as well, but obviously our show wasn't until now. How about the fact that for the last couple Monday Night Footballs, John Gruden has kind of jumped up and down and kind of pitched a a little bit of a fit about how many penalties there's been, and then all of a sudden there's only one penalty called in the first half of that game Monday.
Right. I mean, they're saying that, you know, these penalties are up tremendously from last year this time. So it makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, somebody's listening to the broadcast, obviously.
Yeah, and now we know exactly how much power John Gruden actually has.
Absolutely. Which is why he won't come back to coaching.
No, it would be ridiculously backward step for him to do that. But I know I am in a I don't know if you play any of these daily, weekly fantasy leagues or anything like that. But I play over at DraftKings, obviously the small market ones, because the budget of this show won't allow me to do anything else. But in a DraftKings tournament I am in this weekend, Hooters is actually putting it on. It's actually free if anybody wants to jump in. I think you got about 20 minutes to put your lineup up. But they're not giving out any cash prizes. It's just things like free wings, you know, tokens for free food and stuff like that. The main thing you can do with this Hooters tournament on DraftKings is you get a chance to meet John Gruden, hang out with him, and kind of go, like, just talk football with him in, like, a mini Gruden camp. So we know I was all over this thing, but that's a really cool opportunity.
Absolutely. I would love to sit down with that guy and just talk, you know, football. Come on, that's John Gruden.
Exactly, and I think I would have to ask him, and if anybody's listening that knows him, or if he's listening himself, hi, John, love to meet you. But I think one of the questions I would have to ask is, if ESPN didn't offer the deal that he has now, would he have considered maybe coming to Atlanta or some other team to coach?
Yeah, and I think even though they offered him that, I think he still thought twice about it, I'm sure. But, I mean, you know, as Coach Hill always tells us, man, being a coach is stressful, and it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's what persuaded him. I mean, he's having the time of his life right now.
Oh, yeah, he works one night a week, or pretty much one day a week, and then he could fly home, and I'm not going to mention where his home is because I've actually driven past it accidentally. I've actually driven past it before, but he can fly back and see his family and see his kids and his dog and whatever, you know, raft down a river, whatever he wants to do.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't give it up.
No. But that leads us to, it's probably going to end this on a sour note, but at the same time, I have to tell this particular topic here, and that's, the NFL apparently charges the Department of Defense for the United States for military events such as returning troops reunions and things like this. And how I heard about this is that Senator John McCain, who's on the Department of Defense, went on the Dan Patrick show. He's a good friend of Dan's anyway and been on that show a lot, came on to tell him about it because Dan was like, what are you even talking about? Apparently, the NFL charged the Department of Defense last year over $5 million for these military-related events, like, you know, reuniting a troop from overseas who surprised his family and those kinds of things. And I was just blown away that they would charge, you know, the Department of Defense for that. And do you happen to know where the funding for the Department of Defense comes from?
It comes from taxes mostly, correct?
It does. So we're paying for this instead of we're paying the NFL so that the NFL allows these military reunions to happen.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, but I mean, it just goes to speak to why there were a lot of people who were big fans of the NFL. I know a lot of friends of mine that don't really deal with the NFL anymore because they say it's all about business now. I mean, it's no fun.
Right.
And everything is about money. And this is just yet another sick example of where we're headed with Goodell and some of these guys at the top that's just all about the dollar.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And, I mean, we're talking about a corporation in the NFL who is a multi-billion dollar a year business who can't – I don't understand why they couldn't write this off since they now pay taxes and we can now see how much Goodell makes, which is no big secret. We kind of knew anyway.
Right, and again, here we go with yet another reason why everybody's calling for Goodell's head, man. The guy is—he's something else.
Even though, do you know who? If something happened to Goodell for some reason, I hope nothing would actually happen to him. But if for some reason he decided to step down, do you know who the front runner is to take over as commissioner?
I think it's Rich McKay, isn't it?
It's Rich McKay, currently of our Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
And that's right. As long as they're 4-0 and continuing to do good, I will say my Atlanta Falcons. I am not afraid to go biased host on a show since it's my show.
Welcome to the bandwagon, Jeremy. Welcome to the bandwagon.
Exactly. There was a little bit of room when I got on. I got a aisle seat, so it should be fun.
We'll accept you, man. We'll accept you.
Yeah, I was about to say, I got a little bit of an exemption. I've always watched the Falcons and always followed the Falcons.
Right, right. You've only picked against them a couple of times.
And apparently you are getting the same alert on your phone that I just got. So we hope
Amber
that works
alert.
Out for them. Yep, we hope that works out for them. In fact, if you're listening to us right now, it says Waynesboro, Georgia. There's Amber Alert. Let's see. There's a 2010 black Dodge Charger they are looking for. I guess the license is PQR4803. If you guys happen to see that out in the Waynesboro area or anything like that, a 2010 black Dodge Charger PQR4803, make sure you alert the authorities so they can find them and make sure everything's okay. We'll help out here instead of ignoring those.
Absolutely. Good deal, Jeremy.
Yeah, we're on top of it tonight. We're trying to help for the 8 people that are listening right now. And
8-0. Be optimistic.
Yeah. Oh, there is more than that, but I just was giving the shout out to the 8 people from the, you know, maybe local watering hole establishment who are streaming us over their internet connection. We definitely appreciate that. I would mention the local watering hole, but they don't sponsor the show, so we will just call it a local watering hole.
Right. I'm with that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. If they would like to advertise, as we go to break here, we actually have a thing on how they can do that, and when we come back, we will talk some Falcons. But for Reggie, I am Jeremy. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
Wow, LeJohn sounds like he has a cold. We should probably check and make sure he's okay. But welcome live on Block Talk Radio, thanks to Impact Media. We are here for Falcon Zone. Of course, it is me, Jeremy the Impact York, and he, of course, is King ATL and Reggie Walker. Welcome back, Reggie.
Yes, sir. Good to be back.
It sounds like LeJohn there from Seven Dust was having some issues. We need to check and make sure he's okay.
Uh-oh.
He I don't know, it's voice wavered a little bit there. We need to make sure he's gargling or whatever he needs to do to. I mean, he don't have any bad habits. The band said that numerous times. They're like, it's kind of weird having him as a front man. He doesn't really do drugs, doesn't drink a whole lot. He probably takes other people to rehab. It's like he's kind of a weird front man in rock.
Hey, man. It takes all kinds, right?
Exactly. He's a trendsetter. He's actually a good frontman. Or at least that's my story. I'll stick to it.
I like that. Maybe we can get the guys over Christian Connor, they can do some stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, definitely. He's going by just Connor now. It's a weird thing. I'm having to get used to it. He just goes by Connor, which is actually his last name.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's on his website. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and I made reference to the website, but a lot of people didn't know what I meant. So, yeah, if you go on the website, he gives you the short story of how Connor Christian was kind of created, and then, of course, now he's just going by Connor in the band. It's going by Southern Gothic. They put on a just killer show a couple weekends ago. I actually was able to hang out with them after the show for a few minutes, and Connor kept trying to mess with me that I was actually still out this late.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you like Coach Hill, man. Y'all sleep by 8 o'clock.
Well, no, not really. I stay up decently late most nights, but the fact that I was still out at that time, he was like, "You sure you don't need somebody?" I was like, "I'm fine, dude." I was like, "It's okay, though. I'm okay being the old man of the group," because I said the old man has to go back and do the radio show.
Right.
But getting into the Falcons, I guess, there's a handful of things we can get into. I'm going to go over some of the news and notes real quick and get your response and feedback on them, and then we'll review the win over Houston, and then we'll try to come up with how they're actually going to win this weekend. I feel like it's not going to be very hard. But obviously, linebacker Nathan Stupar had a Twitter takeover, and I read some of the responses. I didn't get a chance to ask him anything, but this guy has been, I think, between him and Croy Bierman and Eric Weems, they are the three all-stars of the special teams group.
Absolutely. Grady Jarrett has made a couple of nice
yes.
plays, but definitely Stupar and Eric Weems, for sure, have been the stalwarts, man. I mean, when we got rid of Anton Smith, who obviously led everything last year, I thought we may have suffered a little bit this year. But Eric Weems is making us not necessarily miss Devin, except he can't maybe won't run one back right away. But but he's serviceable, and I like that guy, man.
I noticed you didn't give a shout-out to Croy Bierman there.
No, you already know. I mean, I still think he's a waste of a roster space. I could have thought of a couple of people that could have kept their jobs as opposed to dealing with that guy. I mean, he had a couple of hot flashes in one of the games after Quinn jumped on him, but I think he's still Croy Bierman.
Croy, I'd still like to talk to you, even if Reggie doesn't. And honestly, I think I'm one of the few people on Earth that actually wants to talk to Croy Bierman because he's Croy Bierman and not because he's married to Kim.
Right, right. Absolutely. And you know what? I should actually, you know, send my condolences out to him because he's actually going through some stuff right now. From what I understand, Kim has had one or two strokes here recently. So he's been taking care of her, and hopefully she gets well soon.
Is that what they actually were? I knew she had health scares, but I never heard what it was. It was actually strokes?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Then, Croy, if you need something, you know, you can reach out to us here on the show. And if we can't do it, then I know one of our listeners maybe could give you a hand in trying to help get everything done you need to. But you mentioned him a while ago. Devin Hester has been put on the short-term IR, which means he misses six games. Is that correct on that?
Yeah, six games. I think this is a precursor to him being on his way out.
I agree, because the guy who he passed on the record books, Deion Sanders, retired because of turf toe, among other things. But turf toe was the main thing that done him in, and that's pretty much what Devin has.
Right, right. That's a hard one to come back from, especially when your speed is affected and he's not really giving, you know, any contribution, making any contributions other than, you know, kickoff returns, punt returns. That's kind of his bread and butter. So, yeah, I think this is just a precursor to them letting him go.
Yeah, unfortunately, especially with Eric Weems doing as good as he does and the fact that most of the time you can draft a young kid every year that will do pretty well in returning kicks.
Right.
Devontae Freeman has continued to set a ton of records. I don't know if you've seen some of the recent ones he's done. I'm going to try to pull it up. I think I had couple of them.
Yeah,
ripped
I know
down.
He was the last guy since LaDainian Tomlinson to rush for what was it, or to get three touchdowns in his first three games or something like that. I know that was one of them.
Yeah, and oddly enough, do you happen to know who his idol growing up was, the guy that he watched?
I'm sure it was. Was it LaDainian?
Yeah, it's LT. He said that's who he grew up, and he models his game after. And I was like, well, I can see a lot of that in his game.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I would have actually thought he may have gone work done, considering they both, you know, out of Florida State, both played for the Falcons, but both kind of run the same. I think Devontae lowers his head a lot more than what Warrick Dunn did, but I would have thought maybe Warrick Dunn would have been his guy.
And I can't find the records that he did, but it was a ton of them. It's kind of been weird because, you know, he starts as the starter in the preseason. Coleman surpasses him during 1 week of practice. Coleman comes out like a house of fire, and you're like, wow, what a great decision, man. He's so much such a change of pace from everything we've had lately. And then he goes down, and we're like, well, I guess we get to see if Holman can kind of hold the spot until he gets back. Well, now Coleman's close to coming back, and we're like, I think Coleman's the backup.
Well, you know what? That's a great problem to have for Atlanta.
Yes.
I mean, you know, even in Terran Ward, who's the third guy, I mean, the guy came in 15 carries and like 80 yards and a touchdown. And again, it goes back to what Coach Hill said, you know, on the show last year. When you create constant competition, you know, this is what you get. And maybe that's what it was, is, you know, the guy needed to lose his job to win his job, you know. So either way, I'm happy. Whichever one comes back, looks like we've got a two-headed monster that we can really start doing a little bit more damage.
Oh, yeah, that just makes the defense worry that much more. And I have to give Dan Quinn the credit here, because that's that Seattle mentality that he brings here, is that every day, every practice, every play, every snap, everything is a competition, including, I think it's Competition Wednesdays, they call it, where on Wednesdays it's head-to-head on a lot of things, and that actually decides the roster order.
Right. I like it. I mean, again, it's showing its worth. It's showing its worth.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, we had Durant, who suffered the elbow sprain. I think he'll be okay, honestly, in a couple weeks. But is this going to really impact the team with Durant being out?
No, again, you know, they have this next man up mentality. I like Justin Durant and what he brings to the team, but guess what? Now it's time for one of the other guys. You got Stupar. And you've got Bartu, you know, you got a couple other guys that can kind of come in and keep it together until he comes back. But I think, again, if you see the sideline, you could tell that this is a different team all around, man. I mean, those guys are just, they're playing for each other right now, and they're having fun.
Yep, absolutely. And I was actually able to find some of these records. Devontae actually has 7 rushing touchdowns in his first 4 games of this year, making him only one of 5 players since 1960 to accomplish that. The last one to do so was Tomlinson in 2005. There's a lot of comparisons they keep drawing there, and he's actually went against some pretty good teams in doing this. So it's, you know, it's not like he's running on Tampa or Chicago every week.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's been kind of my argument with a lot of the naysayers that we have in the Atlanta area, unfortunately, is like, listen, guys, you know, these aren't, you know, bum teams that Atlanta has been beating up on here. I mean, these are teams that you know, Dallas Cowboys, to come, you know, to come back on those guys, the Giants, I mean, to come back on those guys. I mean, these aren't teams that you know, a pushover squad. So.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see. The other thing I wanted to hit on was kind of just go around the division a little bit. I started doing it on the Jaguars show, figured I'd bring it to this one as well. Obviously, Tampa has the game against Jacksonville this week. I think Jacksonville is actually going to take them in that. And then New Orleans is still having issues. Whether Drew Brees plays or not, I don't think it matters that much. I think them and the Colts are in a similar boat, honestly. And then it's just fending off Carolina. I think in the next couple of weeks, Carolina's going to lose the game, and we're going to actually see what kind of team they are. All right, you still with us there, Reggie?
Oh, sorry, I'm on mute. Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. I think Carolina will start to slip up way a little bit, and I think you're going to start seeing Atlanta kind of running away with this thing in the South. So, I'm with you on that.
And as we're in the last 10 minutes or so of the show here, we do want to get you out in time to watch the game that will be starting shortly. Before it does start, who do you have in tonight's game? I think you kind of already know who I have.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Texans tonight. I think after last week, you know, Bill O'Brien's a good coach. I'm sure he lit the locker room up this past week or past few days because they're working off a short week. But I just don't see the Colts doing much of anything, and the game's in Houston as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that. And like I said, I've already kind of said my piece on it. I feel like usually when you get embarrassed in the National Football League, you come out the next week guns blazing. So no matter who the quarterback is or who the running back is, I feel like the defense is actually going to score a lot for the Texans tonight, maybe twice at least. So I agree. I think
Arian Foster has a big game tonight as well.
It definitely could be. But what are your quick takeaways from the Falcons' win over Houston last week?
Total domination, total effort. Four quarters of football. This is what we were begging for last year. Is if we could just see Atlanta play four quarters of football, consistent football, what we would get. And again, I tell a lot of guys, you know, this team was, you know, 6-10 last year or whatever. I go, listen, guys, it was always between the ears. Atlanta has never been a team that lacked talent. It was about the coaching and what was going on and who was being coached up and who was not. And I think all those intangibles are starting to show up. But if you watch these guys on the sideline, Jeremy, these guys are having a ball. He's allowing these guys to play within themselves, to have fun, to do those things. They're high-fiving each other. They're congratulating each other. They are now, and I heard something the other day that his motto with the team or within the locker room is, listen, I want you guys to be a team that draws blood, not tastes blood. And you're starting to see that happen. And if barring injuries, Atlanta's gonna kill some people this year. And I like what I'm seeing right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think this competition that Dan Quinn has brought here makes everybody better. Like Coach says, the competition, everything. And the only real complaint I have from the game, one's my dad's complaint, and then the other one's my complaint. My dad's complaint is once they put in the second and third strings and possibly fourth strings and some things, they let Houston score 21 garbage point time, you know, things, you know, points in garbage time. And he was just like, that's ridiculous. You should have tried to get the shutout. And I said, while I agree with that, I went, it just is what it is. They didn't want to embarrass them too much, so I mean, they probably let them have one or two of those.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, I mean, people have to remember there was always the belief and the consensus that Atlanta wasn't a very deep team from a talent perspective, and that stuff you can't change overnight. You can't change that in one offseason. I think, you know, you start hearing guys like Bruce Irving and some of these other guys that are clamoring to get here. I think you'll start to see that over the next couple of years. Well, they'll have that team that they can go two squads deep. But, I mean, again, he took the talent he knew he had, and he's getting what he wants out of that team, out of that talent. But, yeah, Atlanta's never really been a deep team. I think it's going to take him a couple of years to build up that.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And my real complaint was, even though I completely predicted that Sean Renfrey would play the fourth quarter, why did he only attempt, like, three passes? And my dad also added, at some point, you need to put Renfrey in, if you're up by that much, put him in with the ones and not the twos and threes so that, God help us if something happens to Matt Ryan, we know what we have in Renfrey. So far, we know he can play good in the preseason, but we've never seen him throw an actual pass against ones with the ones, you know?
Right. And again, I think it goes back to your earlier statement. I think Quinn wasn't trying to embarrass these guys. I mean, they were already kind of luck of the draw. I think it was just one of those games, right?
But I think that just shows what type of class act Quinn was. Renfrey obviously has the ability to go. He could have gone out there and put up 21 more points.
Sure.
But again, what does that say? I'm with you. I'm with you and your dad as well. I would like to see him get more work, just in case. But again, the other intangible and the reality of it is let me knock on wood, Matt Ryan has never been hurt. So, I mean, you're also working with that as well. I mean, here's a guy that never goes down. Maybe they may be playing the odds a little bit. But yeah, I think it really just came down to, hey, man, we're not going to embarrass these guys anymore.
Yeah, and the thing you have to keep in mind is we're about to watch a game where the guy who typically doesn't get hurt either in Andrew Luck is about to miss his second straight game. So it can happen.
Well, I mean, and on top of that, too, you got to think about this. And let's go back to the god-awful, you know, I know I don't want to bring this up, but the Mike Vick days when we had Matt Schaub, and there was that controversy behind Mike Vick. Well, we got Matt Schaub. You don't want to showcase your backup guy if he's that good. You know what I mean? Because now you, with all these teams and Dallas going down, and you know, Romo's going down, and Luck's going down, and Roethlisberger, and, oh, man, that's the last thing we need is to get our backup stolen from us because they pay him $50 million when we're paying them $2 million. I mean, yeah, you want to kind of keep that under wraps.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say, we've got about 3 minutes left. We'll get a quick analysis of what we think this weekend. But the last thing I'll say is there was some Texan fans who said, what are we supposed to do? I mean, we're limited at the quarterback option. I reminded them, T.J. Yates is a free agent.
Absolutely, and they can have him back now.
Absolutely. I'll drive him up there.
Right.
But moving on, we got about a couple minutes left. It's about 2 minutes left here. So real quickly, what do you think or what do you think should happen this weekend of the game against the Redskins at the Dome?
I think it will be a partial repeat of last week. I don't think it's a shutout completely because they're not completely horrible, but I still think Atlanta dominates.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Kirk Cousins because he actually looked pretty good last week. He's actually showing that he's competent and that he is better than some other quarterbacks in the league. And I think given the right scenario, i.e., you know, an Alex Smith-like situation, sometimes a change of scenery, Kirk Cousins could actually be a decent quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you.
In fact, I wouldn't mind if he becomes a free agent or something down the road. You know, he could be the third guy in Atlanta.
Yeah, maybe even the second. I think he'll take that backup spot.
He definitely could. But, yeah, I agree. It's definitely going to be pretty much business as usual. And they're not taking these games for granted, which is something that Falcons fans are definitely happy about. And, of course, I'm glad the teams are finally doing that. Because for years it seemed like the Falcons would take games for granted. But they seem
Absolutely.
To be rolling right now.
Those days are gone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as I believe Arian Foster just had a carry, which I try to update people when games are going on. But that's going to do it for us this week.
Got about 10 yards already. So I think he's going to have a monster game tonight.
It's very possible. But that's going to do it for us this week. Like I said, maybe I'll get a statement from Coach on some of those because I do want to hear his opinion on some of those bigger stories we talked about, like the Department of Defense and all that. But for the King ATL and Reggie Walker, and, of course, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Go Falcons!